You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We have a really full show today, so, you know, let's just kind of jump into it. Now, just in case you didn't know, Black on Black Crime, if this is your first time here, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, this program, James Todd, or the actor James Todd, versus LL Cool J, the hip-hop icon, LL Cool J. If you don't know, he came out with a song with Brad Priestley. It's called Accidental Racist. He had some lyrics in that song that we want to talk about. So, James Todd, the actor, versus LL Cool J. We have Stacey Dash, the actress, the lovely Stacey Dash. You know, I'm being nice for a reason. Stacey Dash versus the Carters. That would be Jay-Z and Beyonce, about their visit to Cuba. She put something out in the Twitterverse about them, and a director from Cuba actually had something to say, so we'll talk about that. And we'll play a little bit of Jay-Z's response to those comments. Wu-Tang is back in the cold era. I don't know what to call it. Margaret Thatcher is gone, so we'll talk about that. We have black movies, black sports movies. 42 was out. Daniel mentioned that he saw The Express, so we'll talk about that. We have entertainment updates and a lot more. I guess I did try to squeeze it all in on the intro. Now, before we start the show, let's tell you a little bit about last week's show. You know, you can catch us in the archives. You can catch us on iTunes. You can email us at BOBC, that's Black on Black Crime, BOBC at soulofsyracuse.com. If you want us to send you some links to the show, if you want to check out the show yourself, you can check out our archives at soulofsyracuse.com/EspriRadio/BOBC. Just go to EspriRadio/BOBC on soulofsyracuse.com, and you can check it out. Now, last week's show, we had President Barack Obama versus California Attorney General Kamala Harris, WNBA star Swin Cass versus Baylor's Brittany Griner. It was about her talk joining the NBA and the stuff that Mark Cuban brought up kind of thing, and the cast changes of Real Husbands of Hollywood and some other great things on the show. So tune in and go back and check us out in the archives just in case you missed it. I want to talk about those who are hip-hop, since we're going to talk about some hip-hop folks today, Jay-Z and LL. Wu-Tang Clan are one of the most critically acclaimed hip-hop groups in music history, and the entire group is from Staten Island, if you didn't know. They're set to do a couple of shows in the UK in July. Now, the concerts will mark their 20th anniversary landmark debut album, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, if you haven't heard of it. That's what it is. And with their reunion, their sixth album will be released, or sixth CD. I guess I can say album, can I? Their sixth CD will be released. It's going to be called A Better Tomorrow. Now, it's named after one of their songs on their second LP, Wu-Tang Forever, and is expected to be released also in July of this year. So just wanted to let you know on that front. And in the news segment, I know we usually do our news break before we go into the show, and we're going to still do that. But in the wake of news of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in the UK, she passed away of a stroke on April 8th. She was 87 years old. Critics have catapulted this Judy Garland version of Ding Dong the Wicked Witch is Dead on top of several music charts in the UK. Now, there was a Facebook started in 2007. Folks in the UK said they want this song to go number one when she passes away, and it's already reached number 6 in iTunes, number 1 in the Amazon's bestseller MP3 charts, and looks like it's going to officially hit the top 10 and possibly hit the number 1 slot, and they want to see if the BBC is going to play it. But if you didn't know, Margaret Thatcher was very conservative, and she had some pretty interesting responses to her passing. We don't normally speak bad about people who pass away, but in this case, since there's going to be so much done to make it look like she was such a nice person, we feel obligated to actually give you some truth on black crime. So we'll give you a little bit of truth, and we'll give you some of the responses, now, because there was a lot of internet comments. She was a charismatic mouthpiece for the imperial racism and bigotry in England, you know, just how they treated folks during apartheid. I wanted to, that's what the critics' responses were, by the way, not mine. Mine is a whole lot worse. But she said about South Africa's anti-apartheid party when she was living, while she was in control, that it's a typical terrorist organization and it was living in a cuckoo land if they thought they were ever going to run the country. So she didn't like Mandela when he was in jail, and she didn't really do anything to get him out, although a couple of years ago, around 85 years old or so, she said that she helped not have him executed or something. I don't think that's a consolation prize, so don't believe those stories that Margaret Thatcher helped Nelson Mandela. But again, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, but I just thought I'd clear up some news while it was out there. One of the internet comments said, Margaret Thatcher was indeed strong, resolute, but she was no friend to diversity or feminism. She actively worked against them. And another internet comment said, we'll all die one day. Her life wasn't something I celebrated. And the last comment just says, from former ANC leader Paulo Jordan, he issued the following statement. He said, I've sent a letter of congratulations. I say good riddance. She was a staunch supporter of the apartheid regime, and she was a part of the right-wing alliance with Ronald Reagan that led a lot to unavoidable deaths. So just in case you're not really getting those stories about Ronald Reagan was just as bad. So they were kind of partners during that time. So just wanted to share a little bit of news while we were going. And on that note, let me bring in Finesse, you know, columnist, a man of many hats. We'll bring Finesse in if I can open his mic. What's going on, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on? I'm on the train. I'm so behind schedule. I'm on the train in Baltimore.
Okay.
So if you hear a bell ringing,
I was going to say, it'll be a little adventurous for a minute, huh?
Oh, yeah, it'll be adventurous for at least a half hour.
Okay, cool. We're going to talk about 42 later, the Jackie Robinson story, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but that's in our entertainment section. But if you just tuned in, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our topics today, we're going to do James Todd, the actor James Todd, versus LL Cool J, the hip-hop icon, and his song, I'm sorry, Accidental Racist, That Train Is Throwing Me Finesse. I thought it was tourism.
Accidental, that's a movie.
It was, wasn't it? Okay, Accidental Racism. And we're going to talk about Stacey Dash's comments on Twitter about the Carters going, that's JC and Beyonce, going to Cuba. So we'll talk about that later, and we have a lot of responses from that. But before we get started, there are a couple of things you want to give us some updates on?
Well, I do want to say this. We always talk about the end of the show. I want to talk about the beginning. We are going to have our first ever Black Film Festival, August 3rd, in Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina. Looking forward to that. It's just going to be that Saturday. We're going to have auditions for movies, plays, that type of thing. We're going to have some individual films that we look at. Plus, we're going to have a few panel discussions. So that's coming up. Get you posted. We'll get that commercial on the air as soon as we get everything together on that. The Michael Bazin drama still was dogging me. I was correct. He was not with Kathy Hughes, but Kathy Hughes did offer him a contract. It wasn't to his liking. He was with, and it just escapes me. I just had it, and I don't have my notes in front of me since I'm on the train. He was with Cumulus. There it is, Cumulus Media, and they dropped him. So.
And you said he wanted more from Kathy Hughes?
He wanted either the same that he was getting or whatever, and that's just not. It ain't happening.
Okay.
That's another topic for another show.
I know, yeah. Let's not go into that right now.
Wait a minute. There is one more thing, and let's get this out of the way. And I got to say thank you to Your Black World, Dr. Boyce Watkins. They do listen to the show. And if they listen to the show, I'm still trying to figure out how I got nominated.
Because I definitely won't get nominated for anything, but okay. That's cool.
Well, they nominated me.
I was going to say, we're not disrespectful to everybody. You just can't tell by line.
Right. There is it, but I got to give them props because they did nominate me for the week or for the month, whatever it was. Nice little question and answer. So I appreciate that. I want to shout them out because I know they listen to the show.
All right. Well, on that note, let's bring our commissioner in. I guess the commissioner's been on her job to keep us paying back so that we can get nominated for stuff. So,
right. Hey, you know, without them flags, I still get nominated. So, you know, I ain't changing my game now.
Oh, on that note, is the commissioner. Hey, Kathleen.
I'll be sure to send a letter to your black uncle. Thank you for putting us in this pickle.
Wait a minute. Did you nominate him, Kathleen? No.
Of course I did.
I'm so glad the volume is not up because I didn't hear that so-called so far about the nomination letter. But thank you, Commissioner.
You're welcome. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You can repeat what you said, Kathleen, if you want.
I said I'll be sending a letter to your black world to thank them for putting us in this pickle.
Well, wait till Vibe nominates me. It'll really be on then.
I know.
Yeah, and that I'll be waiting for my nomination from Tavis while you guys are at all of that.
Well, since we had it then, when you introduce me from now on, can you say you're Black World nominated?
Flyway is the fourth anniversary of Shadow and Act, their blog, and we get a lot of good stories from them, too, from covering movies and entertainment. Check them out. I know you guys do check out Your Black World. I wouldn't say our commish actually writes for one of those guys, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm not blowing everybody out the water. I just wanted to remind everybody, you can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. We will take a quick break, come back with more Black on Black Crime. You know, Finesse is on the move. Kathleen is here. She's going to still have to regulate Finesse, although he's going to act like he can't hear her when he blows the whistle, throws the flag on him.
Excuse me. It's the nominated. Your Black World nominee, Finesse.
Kathleen, get your flag ready.
Well, I don't get a flag. That's not Black on Black crime. I didn't commit a crime. It's the truth. See what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why I got nominated.
All right, he got his nomination. He's a nominee. We'll give it up to him. We'll be back. You're listening to the Black on Black Crime. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this message.
Wait till I get my Grammy.
Remember, it's Black Toyota Avalon.
No way, dude. Isn't that a lot?
Is there a problem?
I just need down power lines up ahead.
Really?
Got some heat coming.
You're good to go.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon. Unlike any Avalon you've ever seen before, only the name remains. Toyota. Let's go places.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. General Motors has joined Toyota, Nissan, and Honda in recalling more vehicles due to a problem with a Japanese supplier of airbags. The inflator may burst and send plastic pieces everywhere. More than 3 million airbags have been recalled worldwide. The Internal Revenue Service could be reading your emails without a warrant. The ACLU says the agency continues to seize emails without a warrant despite a 2010 federal appeals court ruling that the practice violates the Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable search and seizure. The White House Memphis Soul concert series was streamed on the White House website, airing on PBS stations April 16th. The First Family enjoyed a star-studded concert celebrating the sound of Soulville. The show opened with Sam Moore, half of the duo Sam and Dave, singing Soul Man. Other performers include Cyndi Lauper, Mavis Staples, and Queen Latifah, who also hosts the program. Overbrook Entertainment, the Smith Family Entertainment Empire, will expand into Latin America with a Colombian thriller. Jada Pinkett Smith will star in the film, which is said to be inspired by true events. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Welcome back to Black on Black. That's welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Our calling number today is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You know, our main topic today, James Todd versus LL Cool J, his accidental tourist. I keep saying accidental tourist. I'm going to have to bring some nothing on this. Accidental racist. You see how I don't want to deal with racism, Finesse? See how that goes?
I'm still here. You said accidental tourist. I think you need to see that movie or something.
I did see the movie. That's what's so funny about it. I said maybe I just don't want to deal with racism today. Accidental.
If people were to know you, they would understand why you wouldn't. But this is a topic we definitely got to talk about.
Yeah, I was talking about this yesterday on a different program. And when people address racism, it always reminds me of Niles Rogers, who wrote the song Good Times and We Are Family, you know, from Chic. And when he said he was a Black Panther when he was 17 years old, he doesn't write anything about race in his songs because he's really clear on race. There will be no metaphoric, what we probably should do, we're clear. So I try not to talk about race for that.
So you wonder why Chic's not in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yes, I still wonder why they're not in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Commissioner, you can throw a flag on him. I don't care if he's a nominee or not.
Yeah, that's great.
I just said that you wonder why. I didn't say anything negative about them because I agree with you. Sheik should have been in the Hall of Fame from
you know,
one nominee to another. I know how it feels to be nominated.
I didn't know he could kiss up. Can you throw a flag from kissing up?
I'm just saying. I love Chic. I love music. From a nominated person, I understand what they're going through.
All right, fine. All right, since accidental racist is our main topic, I'm going to talk about LL Cool J versus James Todd. And the reason I'm going to do this is because after that, we're going to talk about Trayvon Martin's parents' response to Gladys Zimmerman. Let's talk about LL first. Now, LL and Brad Paisley have collaborated on a song. They're saying it's kind of a racial harmony, I don't know where they got that from, called Accidental Racist. It may have been done with the best intentions, but here are some of the highlights. LL says, I feel like a new spangled Django dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book, but I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate, and clear the air. Now, a part of LL's other lyrics in the song, it just says the relationship between the Mason-Dixon needs some fixing. If you don't judge me by my do-rag, I won't judge you by your red flag. If you don't judge me by my gold chains, I'll forget the iron chains. So, Finesse, we'll let you have at this.
Well, I think in this so-called diverse world, when you have these so-called people saying there's no more black or soul chart, we need to come together, music is universal. I think, you know, for both Brad and for L to do this song, I think it's on point. And let's clear up something. This song is not talking about over the last 400 years. They're just talking about today's society and how we see and judge people. I watched a great interview with LL clear that up on The Tonight Show. And in no way, shape, or form was he saying that we should forget racism or slavery, but he was dealing with the fact of how we judge people today. And coming from the South, having lived in the South, it happens where white folks look at black folks a certain way and black folks look at white folks a certain way. And there are still things that go on. In part of where I'm from, Live Oak, Florida, there is a code that black folks don't go swim in a certain area. And white folks is white-only pools. So this stuff still exists. And in order to, and in prepping for the show, Asprey, you know, there's still an education process that still needs to take place. And we see things differently as far as being black because we're more oppressed. And I understand, right. you know, Brad Paisley's lyrics, and I know you're going to talk about it, but he sees it differently than what we see it because he's not oppressed. I think it's a great way for dialogue. I want to see the video. That was a song that they weren't even going to release, but now because of such an uproar, now they're going to release it. So I think it's a good attempt. I think I love the fact that LL stepped outside of himself and is doing something on this level because LL's known not to deal with political issues or social issues. So it's a huge plus for him. I see him in a different light now.
Well, this is kind of why I think is. Kind of a James Todd versus LL. That's not typical LL style
right.
of going at anything. That is his grown actor self looking at that from a different perspective. Not that I agree with it or not, but I'm just saying I think that that's where we start asking the questions, when do we get to grow up and think from a different perspective? Again, you know, well, I'm going to tell you what my thoughts are, but before we go to the commissioner, let's just welcome columnist and author Kai Sins to the program. Hey, girl.
Hey. Okay. Hey. How's everyone
hey,
doing?
Hey, Kai.
Hi. How are you guys?
You know, we're good, and we're trying to get over Finesse's brand new title. I don't know if you heard.
Uh-oh.
Finesse has, we're not hating. Go ahead, Finesse.
Having Kai as my teacher,
uh-huh.
I have been nominated
so
by your Black World.
You.
So thank you, Kai. You know,
wait, you've been nominated.
It's nice being homeschooled.
Okay, tell her what your nomination was. Tell her what your nomination was. She didn't hear you.
For just being an example to the community and doing outstanding stuff as far as with media. So I'm, you know, in all seriousness, I'm truly honored. I wasn't expecting it, and I got to give props to, like I said, your Black World, and they listen to the show. Oh, trust me, they listen to the show.
Okay, that is awesome.
I don't know how awesome that is that they listen to this show and he still got nominated. There's no hate, Finesse. We're not going to get black on black crimes on this show.
See, that should be a flag. Don't hate on my greatness.
I am just proud of them getting over some of the crimes that may have been committed on the program.
Well,
hey, congratulations.
Thank you. And their name has been in a few violations.
Exactly. All right. Commissioner, are you available?
I'm here.
Okay,
she got her arm in the air ready trying to throw a flag.
Oh, is that what it was? She's throwing mm-hmm. it from a distance. So for this accidental racism, LL Cool J and his attempt to create race dialogue, what do you think about those lyrics in this song? Okay, I'm gonna mute Finesse for a second. This is not a violation, mute Finesse. I'm just getting background noise out. That train's a violation? See,
yeah, that's
I just
right.
put him on mute. Uh huh. I didn't do it on purpose. Yes, I did. Go ahead.
It's interesting. You know, I actually don't have an opinion. Are we looking at it as whether or not it's a black on what?
No.
What's-
this is not a black on black crime per se because one wasn't committed. But I just wanted to talk about the difference between the older James Todd, the actor, seeing the world globally, and LL Cool J, the hip hop artist, seeing it from that perspective. So I just want to know what you think about the song right up front.
Well, LL Cool J, I didn't see him moving into this genre of music at all. You know, I never really saw LL as a Talib Kweli or a Gil Scott. I mean, you know, his just was like Round the Way Girl and, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I never really saw him in this genre. Now, there was an awards program where he did a rap on stage that was really very powerful. So I think you're right in that you're seeing him move into a more, just transforming and becoming a little bit more deep with regards to the messages that he's sending out. Now, with this particular song, it's just interesting to me. I really don't have an opinion on whether I think it's you know, powerful, and I'm glad he went there or anything like that. I just find it interesting.
I want to ask Kai, what do you think about that? I don't know if you heard it.
Oh, I did.
You did? What do you think about the song?
Well, first let me say I think it's great that Todd or LL, the ladies do love him.
That
he continues to remain relevant and he continues to grow and put himself in different situations and different, you know, different genres, which is good. In the words of Dixie Chicks,
I think
it's Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to make nice right now. We could make
a
little bit of nice, but I'm not ready to forget the chains and, you know, we're not wearing do-rags anymore. So I appreciate the effort. I thought the effort was great, and I thought it was really good that they could come together and kind of share their differences and, you know, open up dialogue as far as us trying to learn from each other. But I'm just not that forgiving yet. I don't think I'm ready to forget.
And one of the many reasons why I love Kai, now, because mine is going to be along that range. You know, I feel like this.
Right.
You can't make race-neutral songs at any time. Now, if you're talking about children, we all grew up during a time that there was heavy racism and oppression. But did we know that as children? No. Our parents did not burden us with race stuff. But when you're LL with microphone and all these listeners or Bill Cosby, you can't do race-neutral stuff while people are taking away folks' voting rights. You can't do those things at the same time because those are sending mixed messages to the wrong crowd because it's a country song. They're not telling people in poor communities we need to be more harmonious. You're talking directly to racist people by saying, why don't we just be friends? And we're not ready to give that up. So I just want to tell you that I think he's wrong. Well, I understand what he's doing.
Right.
LL, he has a new CD coming out. And I'm going to play something from it with Chuck D, Public Enemy. LL is back. In this song, he's kind of doing his harmonious public service announcement from hosting the Grammys. So on that note, let me bring back Finesse. He's kind of tiptoeing the third rail, if we can use that analogy for being on the train, by doing this.
Well, you know, again, and looking at the context of the song, because I heard what Kai said, and I've heard that from a lot of blacks where they're talking about, he's talking about the do-rag. I think he's talking about it from speak as that voice for young America in the song and the track. I think they were saying a lot of different things, so I give them that. And I think he and Brad started something by talking about race relations for our generation and younger. But are people like, you know, like you and Kai said, are you ready to forget and move on? And it's not even a point of forgetting to move on. Like FB and I said when we were doing pre-production for the show, in order for even to do that, you have to talk about it, you have to teach that it did exist. We have yet to even tell the truth about Native Americans. How are we going to even tell the truth about, you know, being black in America growing up during slavery and the kind of things we went through and some of the things we still go through? So it's kind of hard. I like the fact that he make that effort. And, again, for me, it's the growth. Because we've been looking at hip-hop, we've been saying negative things about hip-hop for so long, what we see, to have something positive, to see somebody our age say, you know what, I'm growing as a person. Let me address some social and political things because I have that platform, having the NCIC, whatever the name of the show is, NCISC or whatever.
NCIS, yeah.
Having that platform to say that, being now he's an executive producer for CBS. You know, he's been doing the Grammy pre-show for the last 2 years. It's nice to see somebody taking advantage of that and say, hey, I got something for the ladies, I got something for the boys, but at the same time, let me hit you a little social and political stuff. So I like that.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for LL, especially as an artist and how he put it down. So this is no slam against LL if his true goal was to just kind of bring the dialogue. But Brad Paisley said something he just pretty much said that we should stop considering race. LL said he was bringing it as dialogue, but he, the white guy, was pretty much saying we need to move on past racism while we still live in a world where our unemployment is unbalanced, where you still talking about people blocking folks to vote. Today, you know, we're getting rulings down from the Supreme Court about affirmative action, and they're undoing all of the gains that were made, even in the 60s, being that they weren't much, but they still were gains. They're undoing them at the same moment that you're saying, let's not judge and let's hold hands. It is not the fact that anybody has to forget anything. It is the awakening that things are still going on now to unravel them. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't make the song or that that's not a good perspective. I am just saying that the wise wisdom of the community need not buy into it. Because
right, but that's the beauty of it, what you just said, because Brad Paisley shows that's how white America thinks. And I'm quite sure all of us have some white friends, and any time an inkling of racism come up, we have those white friends that say, well, we come past that, we have President Obama, and it's up to us to school them individually, but that's why that dialogue hasn't happened, because they don't know what it's like. They have no idea. Look, I'm black as anything. I get oppressed so much, I think my name is, I get a flag if I say it.
Yeah, you're going to get a flag for that.
I think my name is Toby sometimes, the way I get oppressed, because it still exists.
Hey,
right. Throw the flag.
Well, and the fact that Brad Paisley says that is evidence that it's definitely that there needs to be more dialogue.
Yes.
He just doesn't know. You know.
And Kai, see what happens when you befriend somebody who is still going to throw you under the bus? So LL says, I want to bring race dialogue, and Brad Paisley said, out of everything that we've done, we should not have to pay for what our fathers have done. We weren't here when that happened. And I want to tell Brad Paisley, you need to do some history, because segregation was only 46 years ago.
Yeah.
It was only 46 years ago. And I did this news story this week that 70 years after the Holocaust, they arrested the guy in Detroit and put him in jail because he was a Nazi guard. 70 years. Desegregation, 40 years. Work that out on who should be forgiving who. Now, that would be my commentary for today. And forget your nomination on that one. I might not get one from nobody for that. But I'm just making a point.
Hey, I just want to add now. I just want to add this. This seems to be the norm of what's happening between. I've always said that country music and hip-hop music was more related than people could ever imagine. This weekend down where Kai is, Ludacris performed with, I can't remember, but they actually have a song together, and they performed it at the Georgia Dome this weekend.
Yeah.
So it seems to be it seems to be something normal where we're going to start seeing the fusion of hip hop and country. This is not the first time, because remember Nelly and Tim McGraw, which I love that song. So it seems like it's going to happen, and there may be more dialogue, but what can happen is it can't be superficial.
Right. And just like Run DMC and Walk This Way, or Public Enemy doing, who did they perform with? I can't remember the group, but you know, they've always had
Anthrax.
And, you know, you look at those type of collaborations, we're not saying hip-hop, we're not big enough to open our arms. Black people have always done that throughout history. We have always done that. So to actually focus on black folks being welcoming to other communities is kind of like other communities saying, yeah, that's why we're not friends, because y'all won't open up to us. It don't matter that we are kicking you. Y'all need to be more open and willing to accept us. We always have. And so that's why I'm saying the people who are conscious about this stuff should be a little pissed about it if they're trying to sell that to adults. Selling that to kids, yes.
The mending has to happen with the kids.
Well, I don't think the kids have that in them, actually. I think the mending is with the kids.
I think they do, because as I sit and I watch kids today, I think they're – when we were younger – I think 6, 7, we understood racism and we knew. I think these kids today, as I look at them, 18, 19, I don't think they're going to recognize it until they get in the real world and the first time somebody called them an N-word. As a matter of fact, there's a circulation, and I'm really preaching right now, but there's a circulation. It's on the web. Two black guys are hugging this white girl, and this white girl has her shirt on that says, and I'm sorry I have to say it, but it's just to get the point. It says, nigga lover.
I saw that. Just pure unadulterated ignorance. I saw that.
Right.
Some things you can't even address.
Right.
You know what?
So when you see that, and these are young kids, you got to say to yourself, they don't understand. And when we get to 42, I'm going to really talk about that. Because one of my things was, and with 42 was, if they did not say the N-word, if they didn't really address some things, then I was going to bomb that movie. Because that's the truth of history. I seriously was. And you know what? They said the N-word so many times,
throw a flag on him, Kathleen.
It's the truth. If you, saw, if you no, it's because it is part of history. And well, I don't want to get into 42 right now. We'll get into it later.
We'll get into it later. Okay, but okay. So also we're talking about race and racism. That I want to really kind of bring this part up of George Zimmerman's mother. It was the 1 year anniversary last week of George Zimmerman's arrest. Well, no, sorry. This week was the first anniversary of his arrest. And his mother, Gladys Zimmerman, wrote a letter to defend the slaying of unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin, who was 17. And Trayvon Martin's parents, Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin, issued a statement through their family attorney responding to Gladys Zimmerman's letter. Now, Zimmerman feels like her child is not being treated fairly. So just so that you know, the state of Florida decided that there was enough evidence to charge George Zimmerman, this was a year ago, for second-degree murder for profiling, pursuing, and killing their unarmed teenage son. So in their letter, they said, the facts of this case are simple and straightforward. We are confident that the jury, following the overwhelming evidence against George Zimmerman, will hold him accountable for killing our son, Trayvon Martin. For the Zimmerman family to allege that the justice system does not work simply because they are unhappy that their son was arrested in the first place is disingenuous and disrespectful to the very system that is currently affording him every available opportunity to defend himself. The arrest of an admitted killer is not a violation of due process. It is due process. Most will agree that no one has been given greater consideration by the justice system for killing an unarmed child than George Zimmerman. We continue to pray that our son's death will serve as a catalyst in preventing other senseless acts of gun violence. And that was from the family of Trayvon Martin, from his mother and father. We'll go to Kai first. On Gladys Zimmerman's really penning a letter, trying to get sympathy for her son for killing somebody, what do you think about that? And what do you think about the response from the Martins?
You know what? This is one of those opportunities that you could just say go straight to. No flag, please.
Yeah, right. We should have did that segment for this.
Yeah. But, you know, that explains George Zimmerman's behavior because he apparently comes from, I mean,
privilege.
Now it explains who he is because the more his mother talks, the more it makes sense why he believes what he believes. I mean, your son killed somebody, and for her to try to justify it, you know, that's her son. That's a mother's love. Understand she's going to do all she can to protect him. But let's make him accountable for what he did. The fact still remains he should have stayed in the car, and we would never be having this discussion. And for her to put it in print, it's even more insulting. I love the way that Trayvon's parents are handling it, though, with such dignity and such, you know, they're so, not that this is surprising, but I love the way that they're so reserved and so professional. And in a way, you know, I can't even think in a word because I think my 3 or 4 would have been go to hell.
Excuse me.
But,
no.
You know, just save everything and write. No, let me put it another way. Go straight to hell.
Right.
Know? But I thank gosh they responded better than me because, I mean, really? I mean, they've been more than patient and more than accommodating. This guy has gotten every stay, every excuse, he's raising money.
Took him a long time to arrest him.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he
was on house arrest.
Yeah, taking every possible advantage of the legal system that he can. Instead of just owning up and manning up and admitting what he did and preparing to serve his time, he could have been done with a couple of years of it already, you know. But,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, just accept, man up for what you did and serve your pay your debt to society, get out and move on with your life. And you talk about forgiving, we'd be more forgiving if he even said, you know what, I should have stayed in the car or I made a bad decision. He's just making it more insulting.
That.
He won't say it. He's not man enough to say that. And his mother is more insulting than he is.
Right.
So my hat's off to them because, yeah, I would have saved a lot of – I would have had a lot of white space on my paper with just a few simple words.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a couple of words for you and a finger.
Yeah.
All right, so since I didn't get a flag for that one, let's bring on the commissioner. We're going to need to be talked down from this, I can tell, Kai.
All okay, right, sorry. What I believe is that this is why I have the reservation about LL Cool J's song. You know,
yep,
it makes the very reason why he wrote the song with this other guy, but it's the same, you know, it's both sides of the coin, right? Because it's stuff like this. They can make every attempt to try and say they can't rewrite history,
mm-hmm.
but even if they could, it's not even that time yet. So just as you said
exactly.
earlier, Jerome, you know, when you're in the midst of all of this stuff, it's like Rodney King standing out there, you know, got rest in peace, and this may be a crime. You know, why can't we all just get along? Well, we all just can't get along because we don't get along. And,
right.
And this is a prime example why I just kind of looked at the words and I'm like, interesting, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I knew exactly why you had no comment on that because it just kind of takes you back to say, where are you going with this? Like, just even listen to that, it's confusing. Again, I'm here to tell you that there is no, with her feeling that privilege of feeling like her son is being mistreated and he should have just flat got off of shooting somebody, is just crazy to me. So let's bring on Finesse. Let's get your flag ready, Commish. Let's bring
well,
back in.
You know, I have to agree with the Commish, and I was going to say it's interesting how this, we're talking about this song, ties into Trayvon. We're talking about 42. Which, where Jackie Robinson had to play baseball in Daytona Beach, Sanford, the Land area, is around the same area that Trayvon Martin was
right.
murdered. So history, I mean, can't do things and then decide what part of history you want to take and what
That's
and
right.
what part of you want to get you know right. throw away because
mm-hmm.
it has to be addressed. So. If it happened during Jackie Robinson's time, it never been addressed. So we're talking some 40 years later? No.
Right.
50 years later, and it happened to Trayvon Martin in the same exact area? What does that tell you? And I lived in Florida, so I can tell you firsthand, there have been plenty of times where the cops have pulled me over for no reason at all.
Right.
For the simple fact is because I was black. I was with a white
right.
friend. I was with a white friend. They were in the passenger seat. I was driving. They came to his window and asked him, was he okay?
They mm-hmm. served him donuts. They gave him coffee. He's like, woo, you okay? Just want
yeah,
to make sure.
Yeah, pulled him out of the car. He's, are you okay? Is he harming you? What kind of crap? And we're talking 2003.
Is your seatbelt too tight? Like, what is going on up in here? I never said Brad Paisley's lyrics. But what he said is, I'm just a white man coming from the Southland, trying to understand what it's like not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. So, and then he went on just to say, they're not responsible for what their fathers have done either.
Well,
that's
you,
what
well,
he said.
They're not being responsible for your fathers done. Well, let's look at the election.
Yes, he
every
is.
Southern,
yes, he
all
is.
The, every Every Southern state voted for who?
Well, and did you catch the part about he still wants to wave his Confederate flag?
Yes. No, I didn't say that part.
You know what? He can wave his Confederate flag. I have nothing against the flag. It's a part of history. I have some black relatives that had the Confederate flag, and they are.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
Uncle Ruckus-ish. Like, we're not going to throw a flag on you for that. You don't
yeah.
have to call about.
Because
it's
a there's a lot of history and pain behind that flag, and
yep.
Brad needs some schooling.
He does.
You know, poor
well,
little
Kai,
Brad.
Kai, I don't want you schooling him. You my teacher.
hey, come on now. I'm going to throw a flag on you. Stay with Kai. All right, so.
This student-teacher crushing will end if I hear you anywhere near Brad.
Kai, we're going to get him help. You don't have to do the restraining order right now. We're going to get Finesse
and
help.
And that's from the nominee, Finesse Dips.
Kathleen, you can get a flag ready every time I hear that.
I know.
All right, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You know, I didn't open the chat room, unfortunately. You know, on the race stuff, you know, it does get a little crazy. I forgot to open it. It wasn't It may have been a divine intervention that I didn't open it, but it is now open. If you
want
to,
you want these people texting you, asking you why the chat room ain't open.
And if you want to send your comments, send them to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com or text Finesse, whatever. Like, we don't really. You can do that too.
You know they wanted to talk to the. You know they wanted to talk to the duly appointed, nominated future Grammy.
That's a shame.
Hey, put it out there. Put it out there.
If they figure that's what they can get justice for from, God bless them. Like, we gotta try to help them. We're gonna try to get them help as well.
Hey, let me tell you something. If any of these radio programs, program directors, magazines, newspaper want to nominate somebody for going off on them, more power to them. I take it.
I know we'd all get nominations for that. So I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. Since we missed our last break, I do want to give you a preview of LL's. There's a song that LL has with Chuck D and Travis Barker, speaking of working with different type of groups. And it's just a song called What Up, and it's from his new album called Authentic that's due out at the end of this month. I know they're on promotional tours. This is when we normally have controversy. But LL still have not lost anything. So just to put that out there to say this is kind of just as hard as all of all of the other LL stuff that he's
well,
done.
I hope it's better than that last whack record.
Okay. We're not going to throw a flag. I'm just going to
throw a flag because that record was whack. If LL put another whack record, I know something. Nominate that whack. How you on the Grammy board and your record so whack they didn't even put nominate you? That's how whack the record was.
Finesse, the ladies love Cool James now.
Right. See? See, he's
you almost made me say the N-word. We don't.
Okay, for almost saying it, Finesse has now been put on mute. We're going to put Finesse on mute. We're going to take a quick break and come back. But we're going to take a break with this LL song. I just want to do a quick preview before we go to our next topic, which is Stacey Dash and all these folks hating on the Carters. See, I kind of call them the Carters as a couple. Jay-Z and Beyonce. Let's see if we can check in with Finesse before we go to LL. Finesse, you feeling better?
I'm just saying it was whack.
Okay, he's not feeling better. On that note, so here we go. Here is the song with Chuck D. It's LL's. This is LL's new song on his, can I say album, Kai? Can we still say that?
I don't know. People look at you kind of funny when you say that.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should say album or a CD.
I guess it depends on the audience.
Okay. Well, his new CD with Chuck D, Travis Barker, a couple of DJs. Here's a preview of LL's new song on the CD. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Gotta put him in the dirt. Somebody get hurt. Hard times. Kids rough. I took a look at my life. Cut like a knife. What I have is not enough. I got a lot on my mind. Cross the line. Homeboy, I cut you up. No reason to rhyme. How comes the nine? You lose your mind. I said what up.
I got so much trouble on my mind.
Okay, let me bring Finesse in on this. This sounds like Mama Said Knock You Out. Finesse,
yes.
What do you think about this song before you
get out? Now that's LL. That's LL.
Now that's old LL, right?
Yes, that's the LL we love.
Now, so I didn't want to give anybody the impression that Brad Paisley stuff with Sage and LL. That's why I wanted to do James Todd versus LL, because he's apparently gone nowhere. This is a tough song for him. What do you think, Kai?
Still loving it. I like it. I'm over here trying to move it to the beat. Yeah, that's LL.
Right. So I don't know, Kamish.
I love the runaway girls. I don't like it.
Oh, well, she didn't like that. But that's hardcore hip hop, folks. We can relate to it. Finesse.
Yeah, I gotta listen to the album. That makes me want to go get the album. Compared to the last one, I will buy this one. The last one.
I didn't hear the album, but I'm glad he was able to redeem himself on the shelf. Now,
well, it seems like it's every two albums he does that.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't have it in him. I'm just saying when LL is focused, he has a different flow. He's like Ice Cube. When they have
what?
If you talk about them,
mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
When you're so busy, and I got to give Will Smith, a lot of guys hate when I talk about Will Smith because I think Will Smith is one of the top lyricists simply because he doesn't cuss. And that's the art of it. If you could do it without saying a cuss, you truly are a lyricist.
Right.
And his last album was whack. But I'm hoping it comes out because they rush and they do these records. And I'm telling you, if you listen to the LL album, the last one, you cry. I use it as a coaster.
Yeah, and I think, too, with some of them doing so many other projects, sometimes the music suffers.
Yeah,
I'd
rather have the show suffer.
Right.
Okay, so speaking of, rushing stuff out, and I have to give LL, and I always said this, I did an article years ago, you can still catch it on Soul of Syracuse. It's a column talking about who's going to play Vegas in hip-hop, and I said LL has enough hits, Snoop has enough hits, Ice Cube has enough hits, Public Enemy, until they are about, 70.
Snoop will never play Las Vegas. He's only got two good albums.
I'm saying, but he does have enough hits.
He can't even remember his name because he stay high. He wanted to require
okay.
playing in Vegas. I can't stay high.
That's a black on black crime. Lord,
that is definitely a crime. I'm going to get you a whistle on this one.
I've been to a Snoop concert where he forgot his lyrics. Stop being high,
okay.
Snoop. Come back to Drake.
I've been to concerts where a lot of people forgot lyrics, so I'm not going to even go there. Now, let me go to our next topic. We're not going to go
on. He didn't even
Snoopy
pass
Davis.
It. That's what I'm talking about. He didn't even share. He just getting high on stage.
Black
okay,
on black
please.
On black
wait,
on black.
Wait, I
want to
talk
flag.
To the people
that
who nominated flag? That cat. Who nominated Finesse again? Take it back.
Don't hate. If we start talking about it, we'll be committing flags.
You'll be getting flags because you're hating. Don't hate the nominee.
We won't. We'll put that on a bumper sticker. Don't hate the nominee. All right. So Stacey Dash created controversy by tweeting about Jay-Z and Beyonce. And so if you don't know, what happened is Jay-Z and Beyonce went to Cuba last week. And the actress, who has been a vocal political supporter, during the last presidential election, being Republican, showing that she's conservative, she turned her focus to Jay-Z and Beyonce and their decision to spend their anniversary in Cuba is what the issue is, right? And so with that, Stacey Dash tweeted, "Do you care that the Jay-Z's, I don't know why she called them that, but the Jay-Z's have taken the capital that you've given them and funded a communist oppressive regime?" Now, apparently, Beyonce and Jay-Z's together is the Jay-Z's, but judging by her followers, they all went off on her. And so one of the tweets says, "No, they don't care." And the other one says, "I liked you better when you were clueless." And another fan wrote, "Whatever." So,
it's like you're not on Single Ladies anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll start with the commish. What do you think about Stacey Dash's issue with jumping in on pop culture? Because I've committed black-on-black crime personally on this. And I'm sure Finesse is, so I'm saving him on this one.
I think wherever she has been for the last several years, she needs to turn her attention back to that.
Just that short and sweet, huh?
Period.
That's it. Kai, what do you think about Stacey Dash?
Yeah.
Well, not what you think about her. Let's qualify this. What do you think
I'm
about her
words? I'm going to need Stacy to go and sit down somewhere and just be seen and not heard for a little while. She's still in the cooling off stage from some of her other mishaps. So it's probably best that she doesn't say anything for a while. You know, it's better to be assumed than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt.
Once we remove doubt, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Vanessa, what do you think about Stacy Dasher?
I'm going to need Stacy to come to my house and just be quiet.
Just look. Just not.
I didn't say that. I just say the rest is none of your business.
Okay, throw up a flag, Kathleen. I'll pull it back up.
Hey, that's another kind of flag. I was trying to figure out what to call that.
It wasn't a black flag.
I just gave you what it was. It was a sexist flag. Throw the flag. There's no need to figure it out. I just told you.
Vanessa's feeling really good today. I'm not going to comment anymore on Stacy Dash because I don't think she's that smart. And, yeah, I said it and don't care. I just don't think
she's that smart. Well, you know what? She doesn't have to be. Just look the part.
And she doesn't.
Don't say anything.
I agree with that. I know the women are going to kill us both on this one.
Yes, we are.
She doesn't really have to.
I'm being honest. You want women to tell the truth? I'm being honest. Just don't say anything.
They're asking us to tell the
truth. We're trying to work with her, but she's making it very difficult.
I don't think you say I want men to tell the truth on that. I don't think you ever heard me say that.
Yeah. Take the truth back. Yeah, that's what that means. All right,
some truth you should defend, so we tried to tell Terrence Howard.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Just like the Terrence Howard. Now, here's a couple of internet comments. This particular internet comment is from a friend of mine, my boy Troyce, who wrote, "The media worrying about Beyonce and Jay-Z going to Cuba should be more worried about Dennis Rodman going back to North Korea to visit his best friend, Kim Jong-un." And someone else wrote, "Really? Do you really care who enters the country of Cuba? Why do you care where anybody goes? At the end of the day, nothing to do with anyone. It's none of your business." This is the same woman who voted for Mitt Romney. "Check Cuba's history, then let's see what you have to say." Another comment, I'm sorry for running through this. Another one did say, "Do you even know why Castro came down from the mountains to get rid of the violent dictator before you rule on him? Batista, Google him before you start talking out of the side of your mouth. Check Cuba's history and then say something." So those were some of the comments that people said about Stacy Dash. Now, before we go any farther, I don't know if you guys heard Jay-Z's response to all of the criticism, because there were some politicians saying that they need to figure out why he got there and was the Obama administration responsible for giving him clearance to go to Cuba because you can't visit on vacation and all of that nonsense. Kai, did you hear about all of that controversy?
I did. I did hear that.
Okay.
I kind of wish he hadn't written it.
Open letter?
Yeah.
The song?
Yeah. I mean, I respect Jay-Z as a writer, but I wish he hadn't written it in that format. Because, we're trying to, we all know everything that the president does is magnified a gazillion times anyway. So
this has nothing to do with the president, though. This is the pettiness of everybody to try to tag everything on the president.
And it is. And I think he named a part in there about he's saying you're going to get me in trouble or something or other. But, that part he could have left out. But, again, those four famous words, I could speak them for Jay-Z, too. I'll add all y'all go straight to him. My niece has been there, and she's had a totally different experience than, the writer said, I think we should get a little more history before we pass judgment.
I'm going to talk about that as well, Elisa's trip to Cuba. Because one of the directors, this director from 21 Jump Street, made some comments after Open Letter. But I want to ask Kathleen, did you hear Jay-Z's song Open Letter at all?
No, I did not.
Okay, because I'm going to play it, so you don't have to have any comment. Because I'm only going to play a little bit of it just to give us some context before we talk about why he should or should not have written a letter. But just on the Stacy Dash stuff, we're not commenting on that. Vanessa's on mute, by the way, if you don't hear anything in the background. I'm going to bring you in, Finesse. But before I do that, we're going to play Open Letter. I should ask him what he thinks before, because Finesse has heard it. Finesse, mm-hmm. what do you think about Open Letter?
I actually love Jay-Z's response, and that's what you get when you have, you know, he's not the first
this
nor
is classic,
the last person.
By the way.
Yes, he's not the first or the last person to go to Cuba.
Right.
And, you know, if no one say anything about China, and China does more
right.
abuse than anybody. You didn't stop Dennis Rodman from going to North Korea.
Yeah, and here's why I want to play this first, so we can get some context to it. Because I know we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to tell you why this song is classic, and it's Tupac-ish at that. So here's, I guess I can leave everybody's mic on while I play this, but this is Jay-Z's Open Letter that he wrote, responding to all of the criticism.
Let this knock. I done turned Havana to Atlanta. Why every shirts and bandana? Hey, kind of thing that got me, I switched the planner. Bulletproof this radio scanner. Ballin' to they banners. Getting too much bread, they try to jam you. Boy from the hood, but got White House clamors. Sorry, y'all, I don't agree with y'all parents. Politician never did shit for me. Except lie to me, distort history. Wanna give me jail time in the fine. Let me commit a real crime. I might buy a soap for GP. Out of spite, I just might flood these streets. Hear the freedom in my speech. Got an onion from Universal, read it and weep. Would've bought the next to Brooklyn for free. Except I made millions off of you weave. I still own the building, I'm still keeping my seat. Y'all buy that bullshit, y'all better keep your receipts. Obama said, chill, you gon' get me impeached. You don't need this anyway, chill with me on the beach.
Y'all gon' learn today.
Want to start a revolution. You know whenever I'm threatened, I start shooting.
Fire.
Catch a body, head to Houston. I'm in Cuba, I love Cubans. The communist talk is so confusing. When it's from China, the very mic of the music. Idiot win, the Bob Dylan, the rap music. You're an idiot, baby. You should become a student. Or you gonna learn today.
Alright, that's Jay-Z. Open Letter. So I just wanted to make sure that we played a little bit of that just to get some context. Now, Jay-Z, I have to say, in his response to this, he is an artist, right? Unlike what I was saying about LL, I know this sounds contradictory a little bit, but just like the LL thing, yeah, he was talking about racism, but somebody directly said something to Jay-Z. They asked about him doing something illegal. He went through it. He said he didn't get White House clearance. That was kind of probably an inside joke because people kept asking, did he ask the administration? But why would he know to do that? He's a doggone artist, so he
and
does
you know
not
what?
Have to.
I have never heard it to that extent. So he said a lot in there. But actually, you don't get clearance through the White House. You get it through the Treasury Department. Who knew?
Right. And Treasury Department.
And that's why he said
say,
it, because those people mm-hmm. saying you get White House clearance. They're trying to be funny and saying, oh, would the President Obama give you a clearance to go to Cuba?
Exactly.
So that's why
like they're just having an inside conversation and, you know.
Right. Because you can't get in Cuba without presenting all those, everything you need. You can't get in Cuba, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the Treasury Department officials actually came out and said the couple was licensed under the cultural exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't there illegally. And stop hating on them because you just hate Beyonce and Jay-Z is what my
right.
issue was on it. So when the politicians do that, you know when Republicans come out, they're just shooting in the dark. But it was all the other folks that were jumping on it. So after he released Open Letter, he just pretty much said, arrest me for committing a crime. Can't think of how he said it, but he said, let me commit a crime. 21 Jump Street director, I should not even say his name. I'm not going to even say his name. He's the son of a Cuban refugee. He responded to it by calling it, saying Jay-Z was a bad citizen and a bad neighbor and a bad artist. And he said, speaking of defiant fantasies, I've been following the news of your recent trip to the island of Cuba as a son of a Cuban refugee and a nephew and cousin to many Cubans on the island, I cringe when Americans visit Cuba for a fun island vacation. For one thing, it's illegal, nobody seems to care about, but more importantly, it's either ignorant or collusion of struggles of Cubans on the island, of whatever he was saying. And he said he actually encouraged his friends to travel to Cuba to bear witness to one of the greatest tragedies of all time. Now, I'm going to stop him right there. Well, because he's being a punk. Because here's another comment, and this is not a black-on-black crime because I don't care. But here's one of the other comments. One of the Internet comments that we had, it says, before Fidel, 70% under the dictator, 70% of Cuba was owned by the U.S. under General Batista. And he was a bad dictator.
Mm-hmm.
It is why they were overthrown. So don't give us this whole Fidel is bad like you think Gaddafi's bad thing, right? So when he went under with credentials to Cuba, it is always the folks here in Florida telling us how bad citizens we are. Nobody
right.
takes that bull.
Here's my question, I guess. Just say, for the sake of argument, he has friends or relatives or business
right.
opportunities. I mean, why does he have to justify to us why he went to Cuba under any circumstance? And then he's an American. He's going over there. He's definitely spending money, putting money into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
If the state of the economy is so bad over there, what is this guy complaining about? If it's so bad, why is he here and he not in Cuba?
Another Internet comment, by the way, says Canadians vacation there all the time, no problems. U.S.
Yeah.
is owned by China. They're communists. No big outrage there. They just said, LOL. It's so freaking funny. Cuba is so terrible. According to the U.S., at least they have health care. Like, they don't even fight
point.
Over that.
Well, let's take this with another fuck. And this is why I say, you know, blacks here in America know your history. When the Black Panthers were wrongly accused of crimes, who opened up their country?
Cuba.
There's still one Black Panther over there that they still can't extradite.
No, there's a couple. When Hurricane Katrina happened, who was the very first country to offer their services, but the U.S. told them no?
They wanted to send 1,500 physicians and medical staff. 1,500
right.
Cuba offered.
Right.
Would you say, Kathleen? I'm sorry.
People should know their history.
I said Angela Davis spent a significant amount of time in Cuba after she was, they put a warrant out for her here in the United States. But I also just wanted to offer in that there are tons of celebrities living and who have passed on who have visited Cuba. And among them include Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Kate Moss, Naomi Campbell, Michael Douglas, and on and on and on and on. And I haven't heard anybody say anything about what all these people, if you want to use the scenario that was given in the Internet comments, all these people we fund. You know, they're actors, they're entertainers and celebrities, and they get their money from us supporting the work that they do. Since when do you tell a celebrity where they can travel based on the fact that you? Come on, seriously, really?
Well, this is black on black crime, and so since we are on black crime, it's because he's black. Like, so they wanted to tie him to the
That's
president
exactly
and hold him to
is.
A different standard.
And I want to say something, add on to what Kai said. The thing is, what if Jay-Z's visit opens up dialogue? Because Cuba is a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful country. And some of us blacks here in America don't even realize some of us come from Cuba or have Cuban descent in us because of coming, if you lived in the South, especially Florida, the culture lines they crossed. So, you know, you can't believe everything media tells you. There's more to the story, and I suggest, because I'm one that wants to go to Cuba so bad, I've done my history.
Mm-hmm.
Folks need to do their history. I want to go to Havana, and you might see me with my nominated article in Havana on Fox News laughing at people.
Did you say on Fox News? They're going to be laughing at you, so to speak, if you go on Fox News. Now, if you go on soulofsyracuse.com and read from columnist Alisa Campbell, who spent, 8 weeks, Kai, that she spent in Cuba? Six or eight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was her semester over in Cuba. So if you go check out solasyracuse.com, you can check out Alisa's article, Letters from Cuba. And she talks about and documents her time in Cuba and what she found, not from the tourism side of Cuba, but just from interacting as a black person in Cuba. I don't know if you want to talk about that from Alisa,
what she told you
from Cuba.
You know, and it was just refreshing to read about it from a fresh set of unbiased eyes. You know, she was young. She had the experience to go in without any, I'm sure she heard some stories, but she went in as a citizen, so to speak, not as a tourist, but as a citizen, and she got to delve into the culture and actually talk one-on-one with the people, which is what, it's like Finesse said, if we're going to pass judgment and make all of these assumptions about what Cuba is, that's how we should go in. You know, we should go in and learn the culture and talk to the people and enjoy the beautiful islands and so forth, but not just pass judgment because Jay-Z and Beyonce went over there. But it's like Finesse said, we need to learn for ourselves. We need to learn our own history, you know, and we do. We have a lot of relatives who are from Cuba. So why wouldn't he go there, you know?
Right.
People need to find something to do.
I agree. Miss, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to do their concert over there.
Oh, yeah, can we go as a cultural exchange just to show them what concert fans are like in America? Because we just want to go see the concert.
No.
We should be able to work that out.
I'm sure they were adored in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, and they definitely were. They definitely were, and there was a lot of reports that came out of Cuba and pictures of people surrounding them. They're happy to see black people generally. I have to say, it was quite a few years ago, an African Cuban was here and worked with me at a company, and I actually asked him what was it like for black people in Cuba, and he told me a whole different story. So I'm not going to actually reveal that on the show, but it was actually pretty cool to see that. And he said, yeah, go visit. You'll find your time there a little bit different than what media makes Cuba out to be. Finesse, you wanted to chime in on that?
It's sort of like Africa. They always paint this negative picture of Africa. It's like we run around with spears. We got these 14-year-olds running around with guns. And that's not even the case. Ghana is the safest place in the world. It's not Switzerland like they make you out to believe. It's Ghana. So, there are things that happen in every country. There's always a history there. But for this embargo to go on, it has absolutely nothing to do with Castro. It has because the U.S. wants control. They want control of this country, and they want its resources. Cuba is a beautiful country with a lot of rich culture, and we'll never get to experience that, you know, regular folks, because we're all journalists, so we can go over there on a journalist visa. We'll probably be questioning about it. Knowing me, they'll probably keep me there, which will be fine with me. But,
you getting back would probably be more of the problem. I don't know about you going.
They'll be trying to get me out of Cuba. But so it's always interesting, but people just need to check their history because they don't teach you that. They're not telling you the truth when it comes to, like I always say, it's his story.
You listen to Black on Black Crime. Our topics today, Jay-Z and Beyonce's time in Cuba, was kind of scrutinized. Stacey Dash, the director of 21 Jump Street, and other people. So it was those guys. And our main topic was LL Cool J versus James Todd. James Todd versus LL Cool J in Accidental Racist. We also talked about the Trayvon Martin parent stuff. But we want you to join us. You can check with us anytime. Area code 909-265-9189. Before we go off, I think we're going to have to save the... Do you want to go into the Jackie Robinson stuff, Finesse, or should we save that till next time? We should probably talk about that now.
Well, I don't know for how much time we got. I will say this. Go see the movie. Please go support and see the movie. It is a great movie. Just the story of what he went through. And they actually used the words at that time period. And for people to really understand Florida and what's going on with Trayvon, you get a piece of that. You get to see that. But more importantly, for a white director and producer to have such a beautiful love story between Jackie Robinson and his wife, I thought was awesome. that was just the icing on the cake. So I'm telling you, go see the movie. It is worth it. I'll probably go see it again. Oh, one thing I did notice when I went to the movie theater, and this is the sad part.
I saw a wrong ticket.
No,
okay.
I checked
okay.
that. But I saw a group of young teenage white girls. They went to see it. I saw a coach with his Little League baseball players. I saw both old, white, and, you know, black, mature couples. They went to see it. I think I was the only young black male in the theater. There was no one under 40 black male in the theater. And that's sad.
Yeah,
this is part
sad.
Of history. This is part of history. I checked with a few other people. I had them when they went to the theater tell me what they saw. One couple in Syracuse said they were the only black couple in the theater.
And isn't that bizarre? It was number one at the box office.
Kyle, you need to tell me what's going on in Atlanta, because it's a bigger skew.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, Finesse, that's probably the case here too. I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of the audience made up pretty much the same as where you were. But
it's sad to have no black male going to see the movie.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to change that.
Right.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about entertainment stuff, I just want to let you know the upcoming Star Trek Into the Darkness features Zoe Saldana as Uhura. And so
you call my wife?
That's coming up. Hello.
What did you call my wife? The nominee person.
She is, and this is an action movie, by the way. So if you think of Star Trek, she was just the communications person, Uhura. She was just kind of like the telephone operator. Well, this time they return to Earth, and with the chaos and stuff that's going on of the world being torn apart, she's going to come in blazing. So
really?
Zoe Saldana, I was waiting for
Can
them to
I
go in the
share
last
a
name.
Confession?
Yeah,
I may be one of the. I have a small confession to make.
Uh-huh.
I may be one of the only people over, 25, who has never seen a full episode of Star Trek.
No, you're not the only one. There's plenty of them.
Oh, good.
There's plenty of
good.
Yeah, there's plenty of people.
Thought it was just me.
It's a science fiction crime on crime, but yeah, you're not the only one.
Black on black science fiction crime.
You know what? I have a confession. I owe an apology to Kai and to the commission.
Okay.
And we're probably going to have to talk about this another time. I saw the pictures of Zoe Saldana for the that movie. What's her name?
Nina Simone.
I am not going to see that movie.
Ooh, really?
I owe y'all an apology because we were talking about it.
Right.
If they were going to use her at her skin complexion. If you were going to have somebody dark skin, that was a slap on the face.
Right.
I saw the pictures, and I was like, you
have Did they darken her up?
Oh,
dark.
Yeah, they had to.
She's Kevin Dorsey dark.
Yeah.
Don't commit black on black crime on black on black crime.
Okay, because he is black.
So here's the thing. Lynn Whitfield actually made comments recently about her performing Nina Simone, and she said, be it a performance-driven or features looking similar, the responsibility of the artist and the entire team is that when you're seeing a biopic, do you forget that who the person is, and do you believe the spirit that they're bringing through? So Whitfield said, in the Sisterhood of Thespians, that's actors, all I will do is pull for her and for what she does. She certainly shows tremendous intelligence in all of her performances up till now. So she's reserving judgment, and she's saying, I'm going to pull for her to be successful.
You
and
know
what?
What
we're talking about.
I have to disagree because I saw the pictures, and to me, for me,
he
you hired
not
somebody
his
by
girl.
By the name. Of, she's my girl, but nah, you should have got a dark skin sister to play that part.
Yeah,
you
because
and Kai
almost,
said that before.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't want to think of it this way, but because she is so fair skinned, and nothing against her, I'm a huge fan of hers. But I saw pictures of her where they were actually shooting the scenes, and she was in, you know, she was in character. It, the first thing that came to my mind was like she was in blackface.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It does. It looked like his mammy, and it looks like, and that's
right.
why I said I couldn't see it. I saw the pictures, and I was like, I owe Kathleen and Cotton
yeah.
an apology, and you ladies nailed it. There's no
yeah.
way I'm going to see that film. No.
We accept it.
Yeah. So maybe if they hadn't put those images out, you would be more objective, but that just kind of bothered me. The first thing I thought, it was like a minstrel show,
yeah.
and I know, and you know, that takes that's away from the talent of Nina Simone
right.
and from her memory, you know.
And they put the worst pro wig on her, too. I mean,
yes.
it's just...
Yes. They did. They
it,
did.
It's just really... I said they put the worst... They put this horrible Afro wig on her that doesn't look real. It really does slap of blackface minstrel kind of thing.
Right.
Except
yeah.
that, you know, we know who she is. We know that she's not white. It's not... You know what I mean? But it's just... There's something tasteless about it. They should have left her, I agree with you, Finesse, they should have left her complexion as is. We know
as
that
is. Right,
she's
right.
home. Right?
Right?
So the whole point of using her was to say, okay, she wants to depict this character, she also sings, she also does that, da 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 da. So we know it's not her, so why are we trying to darken
right.
her up? Like,
you know what
it
reminded me of?
Look.
If you remember those commercials of the that used to come on late at night where the earth was being polluted and the Indian guy was crying,
oh, yes.
but he wasn't
and it was
Indian.
A white guy.
It was
yes.
a white guy.
Yes.
It made me think of that.
Yes.
I'm like, why don't you
what?
Just get an Indian actor?
You were just hurting my feelings today. Good Lord,
because you have to see these photos, and the
yeah.
family is absolutely right. There's no way India Irene. Hands down, should have
would have been
this.
Perfect, right? She would have been perfect.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Did you say India Ari?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the pre-India Ari or the
what?
The
oh,
one
that's
yeah. oh, yeah.
committing
well,
more
well,
crimes
well,
today?
No. That's brought up. Let's bring it out. That was the record label who did that. She had no control over that.
Okay.
I just found
okay.
that out today.
Yeah, and that's a crime in itself, and she already addressed it. There was nothing she could do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we've
but
seen
you're
that.
Right. She would have been a good, I mean, because of the facial features, the fullness of the lips, the fullness of the cheekbones, that should have
the
all
style,
been.
The dress, the sound,
right.
everything.
She looks just like her.
Yeah.
yeah.
She really does. She looks
and,
a lot like
yeah,
her.
Yeah, and that should have been celebrated.
Like her. She
yeah.
is,
yeah.
you know, embodies her characteristic. It would have been very easy for India to channel Nina Simone.
Who is directing this film?
Even the music is similar.
I don't know.
I think we need to find that out because this all ties into what we talk. If it's somebody white, it ties into the whole thing where we start off with Brad Paisley and LL Cool J.
Right, maybe somebody white shouldn't direct her Nina Simone's movie. Like,
not only not
some
directed,
people.
But if you said, we're going to get Zoe because she's a name, we'll just darken her up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because those
well,
pictures, Esprit, you got to look on the Internet. Those pictures are horrible.
I am hoping that there are pictures in her trailer kind of thing. And
yeah.
let the, hopefully it's shot better.
It's
no.
it's shot better.
That's not. This was
not.
The actual
it's
footage
not
from
not
the film.
Yep. I'm
it
looking
is.
At them now.
Yeah,
it's
I'm looking at one, too. Yeah, it's not good.
Okay. All right.
No.
So since we bashed Finesse's woman a little bit, let's just say the
I'm trying
new
to figure out why
Avalon,
you called my wife off her name. You called her you called her what again?
I called her what? A whore.
Yeah.
I just
watch,
call her Zoe now.
Yeah, you watch Zoe. You ain't allowed to call her the other name because you kind of a little close to the other name. I don't have to hurt you.
To add this one thing that I just read in the article, that they also put a prosthetic on her nose.
Yeah.
See, and that didn't make sense. So what you're saying is somebody black enough and who can sing, we didn't want that. So we're just going to get,
what?
We're gonna
honestly,
get somebody to make up a
and
clown.
I hate to even say this, Fantasia. They
oh.
should have gotten Fantasia.
Yeah, I would have taken that. After
yeah.
I've seen those photos,
wait a minute.
I would take Fantasia.
Wait. There was prosthetics put on Kurt Russell or Kurt Douglas for the Liberace stuff. So I'm just saying if the makeup
white.
was bad,
Yeah, this was good prosthetics, though.
Yeah, this
because
was not,
she's a
not,
very Zoe Saldana is a very thin woman with thin features,
true.
A beautiful woman. Nina Simone has a wide nose, wide lips, very wide lips, you know, big eyes and cheekbones. So that's something that, and you know, it just didn't match.
I would have loved that Zoe had said, you know what, let me step away from this project.
Yeah, she wouldn't have done that.
I think that would have been a smart thing to do.
Too far. All right, let me give you a really quick Black History moment before I bring this guy's name up, because I know we're going to lose the show, Finesse, after I bring his name up. But this guy, Rob McConnell, began interning at Toyota's Technical Center, which is now Toyota Body and Design Department. He's 34 years old. He designed a new Avalon, the new Toyota Avalon, and he said, I've been with Toyota all my professional career. Our department is unique because it has a lot of young people. On a typical day, you'll see me and my team with headphones on rocking the roots or Common to get inspired. Now, his team has led 7 different Toyota vehicles, and his time with the Solar, the Venza, and the Tundra. But the Avalon is the first car Toyota's leadership has allowed to be designed and built outside of Japan. So this Black man, 34, designed it, which leads us to the new commercials by the Black ad agency featuring Idris Elba.
Love them.
So the new commercials that are out that says Only the Name Remains is kind of a spy-themed advertisement campaign for the 2013. And I'm not advertising Toyota. I'm a kind of a Honda, Acura kind of person right now. But the highly anticipated campaign was the first television commercial that Idris has done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was created by Burrell Communication, and that's a Black-owned media marketing company. So
that is awesome, because that's a nice commercial.
I wanted to say that because people keep complaining, saying that Black folks are not in certain positions. The Avalon was designed by Black folks. It's marketed by Black folks and now has a Black commercial featuring a Black man. Let's see how those sales go.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Burrell, I think they're related to MC Hammer.
I'm not sure, but I think they are.
I'm going to look it up.
It is Burrell.
Hey, I just
Burrell.
Want to throw in Lauren Hill's one of those considered
to mean
it's
small.
Yes.
Indy Ari.
You guys are going to fight on this. I want to say somebody should have came in for Idris Elba, but I ain't going to start that fight either. But
that's right.
You know what?
Not until you at least learn how to pronounce his name.
That's a really great commercial, too. Great commercial.
It's becoming a Black-on-Black crime role, I'm just saying.
If I don't pronounce his name correctly?
After the 50th time of us telling you.
Hey, I just barely got Zoe, whatever her last name is.
Hey. Zaldana Dent.
Okay, well, if you're sticking to that story, I'm going to leave that alone. All right, I want to thank everybody for listening to Black on Black Crime. Join us again next week. We'll talk about 42 next time, Finesse, because I want to talk about that and The Express, the Ernie Davis story. So join us again next week with Finesse, the Commissioner Kathleen, and my girl Kai.
Wait a minute. It's the newly nominated Black World producer extraordinaire, host, writer, Finesse Dim.
So now I need a title.
You need to be nominated for something. Until then, you just a commissioner.
Ty has a title. Finesse has a title. I need a title.
You do, commish.
You're the commish of this piece. You get all seeing, all knowing commish of Oz in the piece.
Black on Black Crime. Black on Black Crime trying to steal Finesse shine. Ain't that a thing?
Yeah, we'll have to we're going to have to submit a request on that particular crime. It will take a kid next week and see if that means anything to anybody. Anyone? Anyone? All right. Well,
thank you, Yo Black World, for listening and letting us get at you when we need to. We appreciate the nomination. It's for the whole team.
Oh, because we will get at you when we need to. All right. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll see you all next week. Later, people.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody.
Bye-bye.